Here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, if you think Minkah Fitzpatrick shouldn't get a payday, you are out of your mind. We'll explain why and why the Steelers should pay him soon when it comes to finding out how much they're going to pay him down the line for an extended contract. We'll also talk about who wears the green dot in the Steelers defense and much more as OTAs begin today, Tuesday. Joining me today will be Wes Euler from Steeler Nation Radio. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things at the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily episodes Monday through Friday, as well as our breaking news updates and our bonus episodes. We thank you for making Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joining today, as always, we have him on every week, the man, the myth, the legend, Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio and the Ears and Beers podcast. What's up, Wes?
Mr. Carter, always the pleasure is always all mine. I'm a Chick-fil-A employee. My pleasure.
I was like, what? I was when you said Chick-fil-A, I'm like, what is that?
Where are you going with that? Polynesian sauce? What are we talking about here?
I do like the Polynesian sauce. As much as I love ketchup, Polynesian sauce be hit.
Me too.
But Wes, let's dive right into our first topic. And it's a topic that you and I have discussed privately a lot. And it's just the fact that the Steelers do have to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick. I know that there's people out there. He's in his final year of his contract and everything. And the Steelers haven't given him the full-on extension. And there's a lot of projections that because this guy in two of his 3 years with the Steelers was first team all pro, there's a lot of people, including myself, including you, that think he should get top dollar money at the safety position. But there's some out there, Wes, who think, well, wait a second, why would you pay him that much money? And all, and they start making up these excuses, and they look back at his last year. And if you look at his last year, statistically, there was a drop-off. This was a guy who, you know, in his first 2 years looked like he was an unstoppable interception machine. Now, there were some out there, Pro Football Focus, who were saying that those were just accidents or incidents, that like they weren't something he could redo. He wasn't really that good. And so him having five interceptions in 2019, four interceptions in 2020, he only had two in 2021. And so some are saying that's a sign that he's not as good as you think he is. He's about to drop off. Don't sign him to the long-term deal. Wes, why are those people crazy?
Cool. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, Chris. Here's the thing. I realize that just from a general standpoint, you would like to have seen that splash continue, or sure, at least more than the lower number last year. But there's also a rhyme or reason to that. If you're somebody who, you know, even if you're a pseudo film junkie, if you like to watch the All 22, those type of things, and I'm not sitting here pretending that I'm some expert, but there's a reason for that as well, too, and it's because defenses are game planning around Minkah Fitzpatrick, in a sense. Not in a sense. People know what I'm talking about when I say that. And that's a real dangerous thing to flirt with not having.
Right?
Part of the reason why Minkah was getting all that splash when he first came to Pittsburgh was because defenses still hadn't figured out what he looks like in the Steelers' defense. Agreed. They have now, obviously, with the sample size, and they've adjusted to that. That's what the offensive coordinators get paid a lot of money around the NFL. The head coaches get paid a lot of money. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. So some people might be thinking, well, okay, the offenses have figured him out then. Well, why would you give him all this money? Because they figured him out because he's taking away such a large chunk of the field,
right,
and they're not looking there. There's a lot of benefits of this. One of them, like you and I have discussed, has been if you look at how the Steelers have done against tight ends the past 2 years, it's been much better than they had done the years before that, mm-hmm, when the Gronks were just chewing them up and spitting them out every single time they played. And a big part of that is because Minkah takes away a huge part of the field. That allows Edmonds to help with the tight ends. It's a very symbiotic relationship there. It's a very comfortable relationship there. There's also, I think if you take away the Bengals games from this past year, and of course the back-breaking touchdown by the Raiders, I believe it was Ruggs that scored that on that bomb, the Steelers have done a great job of not giving up the deep ball, not giving up the mm-hmm big play. And there's exceptions mm-hmm to that. There always is.
Right.
But in large part, they have done so good at that over the last 2 years, taking that away from teams for the most part, and Minkah is a huge reason for that. So what it's done, the way it allows you to play against tight ends, the way it takes away legitimately a chunk of space for the opposing offense. I'm with you. I wish that interception number was still a little bit higher, but I think Minkah Fitzpatrick value to this defense, if you just look away from the stat sheet and look more at the X's and O's and what's going on, his value to this defense is massive. It's paramount too. They would be a different defense without him.
They absolutely would be. And to your point about deep balls and being a different defense, go back and look at how many deep balls they were giving up in 2017 and 2018 versus 2019 and 2020 when he came in. It is night and day. I mean, I remember in 2017, that was one of the biggest problems, was that they couldn't stop the big plays enough. Joe Hayden would lock down one side of the field, but Artie Burns would make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Sean Davis would make mistakes. Mike Mitchell would make mistakes. And when Minkah Fitzpatrick took over, and Joe Hayden even talked about this, when Minkah Fitzpatrick had his pick six against the Colts that went like 100 yards in that game in 2019, Joe Hayden talked about how on that play he dove to try to get the pass because he thought he had it, and when he missed it, he thought he gave up a touchdown. But when he heard the crowd roar and they're at Heinz Field, he just was like, "What?" And he looked up and saw 39 running, and he was like, "I knew from that moment on that man had my back." And that's real. That's valuable to set your corners, that we have one of the best safeties behind us. So let's play aggressive. Let's play this way, because we absolutely know that guy's going to hold us together. That's the person you're talking about. And even in a year where his interception numbers were down because they knew they didn't have to throw to him if you could run the ball so much, he had 124 tackles. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, they weren't great tackles. They weren't tackles for loss. Well, he's the free safety. He's the guy that's the safety valve. His job is to make sure that this run doesn't get any worse than it already is. Those 124 tackles, Wes, are the most ever by a Steelers defensive back. And it's not even close. When Terrell Edmonds got 105 tackles in 2019, that was the most ever. And that just eked out several Ryan Clark seasons, Lee Flowers, Rod Woodson, Chris Hope, even Troy Polamalu up in that mix. But that's how much Minkah Fitzpatrick was all over the field trying to make up for the deficiencies in the run defense. This is a guy who's not afraid to get his hands dirty, but is much better when he can be the X-factor guy that's flying around the field. We know that. The Steelers know that. That's why he's going to get paid. Now, I know one of the big hangups is people talk about, well, what about the money? If you're paying him this extension, he's going to want top safety money. And I'm going to say, and I believe you agree, pay him it. It's fine. This is a big reason why I think it's great that they don't have a top-end quarterback on their books. Now they can replenish the entire roster as they're finding that next quarterback. The top-paid safety per average per year, according to Over the Cap, right now is Jamal Adams at $17.5 million a year. You mean to tell me if the Steelers just paid Minkah Fitzpatrick $18 million a year for the next 4 or 5 seasons? He's 26 years old, by the way. So by the end of this contract, he would still be in his prime.
Still be, yeah.
Like, that's a steal. And especially with the salary cap being about to boom, what we consider in our heads $18 million, that sounds like a lot. The percentage of your salary cap of that is going to shrink because of how much more money is going to be available. And you'll be getting in front of the safety market, because with players like Jesse Bates, who's currently having a contract battle with Cincinnati, there's going to be guys that get paid mega bucks. The Steelers need to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick now before this gets any worse, before anyone else signs some crazy extension or some crazy deal. And then that way you have Minkah Fitzpatrick for until like the late 2020s, where it'll be 2027, 2028. And then you're wondering where is he in our system? How much should we pay him now that he's like 30 years old or whatever? Then worry about that. But if you wait and you let other teams sign more safeties, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to pay him more money. And whereas he'll deserve it, it's something that you can avoid if you just get it done now.
Yeah, two things to wrap that up perfectly. The first is to piggyback off what you just said. You and I talked about that a lot this time last year with TJ Watt.
Yeah.
And that just pay the guy.
Just pay him.
The longer you kick that can down the road, he's going to be productive. The salary cap's going to go up. He's going to be older as well, too, and you're just going to have to pay him more. And look at how well that worked out for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you imagine if they'd be trying to pay TJ Watt this summer instead? Coming off the NFL Defensive Player of the Year and tying Mike Ostrahan's all-time single-season sack record.
It would make the current contract he's on look like chump change.
I was going to say, so I don't think any of us are sitting here saying the Steelers got TJ Watt for a discount, But his contract right now would look like a discount as opposed to if they would sign him to one this summer. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, you mentioned him helping in the run game, and we all know, you and I have talked at nauseam this offseason about the run defense, and everyone knows dead last in the league last year, and it hasn't been very good for a few years now. I'm sure there's some of our listeners that are thinking, well, okay, guys, we all agree on that. We agree that the safeties in the secondary have had to play a big role in helping the run game. We agree it's been a big issue. Why don't you take that $18 million and instead of giving it to Minka, why don't you use it to fix the run game? You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, if that's your logic, I think, because you might take that $18 million. You might be able to sign two players and fix your run game.
Maybe.
You're right. That's also a maybe, because you would have to spend that money wisely and make the right signings and everything. But then all of a sudden you would open up problems on the back end again. So you would be you'd be clogging one, like the boat would be sinking, and you'd be clogging one hole while you left the other one to spring a leak, right? Just to me, Minka knows the defense. He's worked out so well with the organization. Like, as you mentioned too, just 26 years old. I mean, we look at his career. It feels like he's been doing this for so long. He's been so good. You could reason to say that he could still even get a little bit better, which is a scary thought. And you mentioned the quarterback money now too, that you're not paying a franchise quarterback. To me, it feels like a no-brainer. You and I have also discussed plenty. I feel like I've said that 7 times now already. That if the Steelers are going to have success this year, and really what feels like for maybe the next 2-3 years, the defense is going to have to lead the way.
Right.
And don't you want Minka to be a part of that? I think you should.
I think you should, too. It just makes the most sense to make Minka part of that equation and make sure he's a part of it. And not just part of the equation, he's one of the biggest numbers in it, because he's going to be a guy. And like you said, you know, you could take, theoretically, let's say, oh, we could take that money and get two really good run defenders and help with that. Not only would you be weakening the back end of your defense, you're going for the whole a bird in a hand is worth two in the bush type of deal. Because if I know I have one of the best safeties in the NFL, would you trade that for maybe two solid run defenders? And if one of them's a bust, you only got one and neither of them are great. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Now, if you've
been in the system already for 3 years,
he knows your system. He's loved. He's appreciated. He's thought of to be a leader. This dude is the truth. I've been saying this since they got him, since before they got him. I was one of the people that was pounding the table. They need to go trade for this man.
You and Brandon Hunt were pounding the table for Minka Fitzpatrick, baby.
Yes, I am intellectually on the level of Brandon Hunt. That's something we're totally saying here. I'm nowhere near Brandon Hunt's and his football mind.
I heard you taught him how to watch film. Sources.
I said nothing of the sort. Brandon, if you're watching this,
you know what's funny is there's always the couple people out there who would take that seriously.
Exactly. So I'm like, I want to cut y'all off. But point being, Minka Fitzpatrick, pay the man now. Get it on the books so you don't got to worry about it, and he can be your superstar safety for the next several years and be a leader for your defense. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, though, another issue of leadership on the Steelers defense involving the green dot and who's relaying the signals. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, I got to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Y'all know about rockauto.com. You can save time and money when you visit rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more on the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, if you need a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, it can cost as much as $353 at a chain store. But if you go to rockauto.com, it's $216. That's huge savings for you right there. RockAuto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliable, low for every customer, and they have everything that you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find your solution for your auto part needs. And when you visit rockauto.com, be sure to check out all the parts available for your car or truck, because you never know what they might have in stock and what might be an amazing deal. And when you're there, be sure to write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us, box, so that they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Wes Euler of Steel Nation Radio and the Ears and Beers podcast for the West Virginia Mountaineers. Now, Wes, so we were talking about defensive leadership. One of the things that's always talked about is who wears the green dot. If you don't know what the green dot is, that is essentially the signal that you're the person who has the helmet with the receiver in it and the microphone. You're hearing what the play caller is giving from the booth. When the plays are going on to the field, you're the person who gets that, and you're relaying the information out. So oftentimes the green dot person, the signal caller. That's the off-ball linebacker who's the most responsible, who's going to get everyone on the same page. That was Ryan Shazier, that was Lawrence Timmons, that was James Ferrier. Down the line, whoever was the leader, that was normally the guy. So the question is, and this question comes from Owen, is who wears that this year? This is Owen from the United Kingdom asking us right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.
Hello, Chris. This is Pittsburgh Owen from the UK, your voice from across the pond. Got a question for you, bro. Who wears the green dot on the back of their helmet next year for the Pittsburgh Steelers in defense? And why do you think that person is the best person to wear that green dot? Thanks, buddy. Keep up the great work. Here we go, Steelers. Come on.
Thank you, Owen, for your question. Always appreciate you. Owen's been a longtime fan of the show.
He's
great. Check out his show, Britsburg and the Steelers Syndicate. They're on YouTube. Do check them out. They do a great job. If you're a Steelers fan, they're a good fan show to be a part of. And remember, if you want your question on the show, call in at 412-223-6644. Leave a voicemail with your name and where you're from, and then we'll try to get you on the show and answer your question as it pertains to the Steelers. Also, if you're international like Owen, you can send an email to losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com. Just include an MP3 file that has your question in it, and we'll try to get you on the show with your question. But to answer Owen's question, it's obvious that this is going to be down to two major linebackers, and that's Devin Bush and Miles Jack, in my opinion. Now, Devin Bush is in an interesting position because last year, I think the Steelers were hoping he would take the green dot. But that became a problem because he was very confused at times. He looked lost on the field, wasn't able to make things happen. He was yanked at times as well.
Like
there were times he couldn't be the starter because they couldn't trust him. So the Steelers kind of had to figure things out. But now this year, you're looking at it, and now he's had a chance to not just focus on rehab, but being ready as a linebacker. And when Devin Bush got to the Steelers years ago, before he had his rough year of 2021, he was the guy that people were saying, man, this guy's calling out plays in rookie camp. Like, this guy's calling out, he knows our playbook already. There was excitement that he would be the green dot guy for the next 10 years because the Steelers got him at a very young age. So now the Steelers go get a guy in Miles Jack who's been a team captain. He's been a guy who can relay those types of things. So now the question is, Devin Bush, Miles Jack, who should wear that green dot? And, you know, these are things that we're going to be looking for as OTAs open up today on Tuesday. Wes, who do you think might have the edge in this situation?
And isn't this kind of Groundhog Day, Mr. Carter?
It is.
Because last year going into the season, we were talking about, is it going to be Devin Bush or is it going to be a former Jacksonville Jaguar linebacker?
That is funny,
It was Joe Schobert. Now it's Miles Jack. I think it's going to be Miles Jack, and here's why.
Okay.
They gave it to Joe Schobert last year, and to use a Mike Tomlinism, he had to hop on a moving train. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have the benefit of Miles Jack of he had no OTAs. He had no minicamp. He was mid-preseason. He got to training camp late. So Miles Jack is going to have that entire backlog of time and experience and practice and verbiage of the signals and the play calls and the playbook and all that stuff that Joe Schobert didn't get. Chris, it has to be one of those two. I think you're right with that. I'm sure some people are thinking, well, what about TJ Watt? You know, you want it to be, and this is something that my colleague Arthur Motes could explain really well. You always want that guy to be a middle linebacker because that guy has to communicate with everyone on the defense.
Exactly.
And it's just, if you play on the edge, you're trying to yell to the cornerback across the field. That's difficult. If it's Cam Hayward and he's trying to yell back to Minkah Fitzpatrick and Edmonds, that's difficult. You want it to be, you know, it's why the middle linebackers are called field generals, right? They're the quarterback of the defense. You want it to be one of those guys. And I just don't know how you could, as we sit here today, right, at the end of May, I just don't know how you could have faith in Devin Bush to be that guy that can handle all the responsibilities up. Because that's something that happens on the fly a lot, too. You got to think, how many offenses, Chris, run no huddle, run hurry up, run some type of hybrid of that, if not all the time, throughout points in a game? There's a lot of times where you've got to be able to, you're running back to the line of scrimmage, you're getting the signal at the same time, you're relaying it to all the levels of the defense, and you've got to do all that in 11 seconds, somewhere between 13 and 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have a guy that you trust to not come off the field. And I think that they thought that was Joe Schobert last season. It clearly was not.
Right.
Miles Jack, though, is in much better position to do so, as we mentioned, because he will have that full off-season program and training camp that Joe Schobert did not. So I just, again, as we sit here today, I would love for it to be Devin Bush. I just don't have the faith that I can do that at this point.
It might even be a situation where Miles Jack comes in and it's just going to be right now during OTAs. They're going to see how these two guys do next to each other. Who's quicker? Who picks up on things a little bit faster? Sure. Who's sharper in their detail? These are the things that Mike Tomlin often talk about, because as much as fans might be like not that excited about OTAs, it's like, okay, it's OTAs. They're only in shorts. They're not really doing anything. Mike Tomlin loves every part of the season because he looks to challenge you and see how serious do you take today? Even though today is four months away from the start of the season. My math sucks. Even though today's 4 months away from the start of the season and training camp's still months away, like there's all these things in the way that you can see. You could take today not serious and think, oh, well, I'll be serious later down the line. But how serious are you right now? Because if you're serious right now, I know you'll be serious down the line. And that's why I think Mike Tomlin's going to be looking at Devin Bush especially and say, hey, man, we drafted you 10th overall. We traded up to get you. You got to prove to me that I can give you this green dot. So I do think there's going to be a sense of maybe at least in OTAs. I'm not even sure if that's a thing that they do in OTAs to challenge. I mean, someone's got to relay information. So we'll see if Devin Bush gets the pole position of getting it to start, because he's been in this defense for 3 years now. But I wouldn't be surprised if Miles Jack is, or if they just do a thing where they're rotating, like, hey, Devin, you take the calls this time. Miles, you take the call this time. Because on top of that, you need to be prepared for when one of them gets hurt. Because let's say Miles Jack does get that, but there's, you know, four games that he doesn't play out of the year. You're going to need Devin Bush to be ready to take on that role, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. If Devin Bush is amazing this year.
Absolutely.
Right. So I'm kind of with you. I think Miles might earn it early on, because he's also an NFL veteran who's been used to playing sideline to sideline, playing different things. He's had to learn different defenses with the Jaguars. So you bring him into the system and he might understand it. But if Devin Bush starts to look proficient, maybe you say, hey, Devin, we'll put you in there. But it also could be a thing where maybe Devin Bush becomes really comfortable because he doesn't have to talk to anybody. All he does is have to listen and relay what he knows back to Miles Jack. And he's just playing that much faster, because Devin Bush's thing is playing fast, playing quick. And the more you're thinking, the less chance, the less of a chance you have to play that fast. So I'm on to something with you here. I think you might be right about Miles Jack, at least to start off being the guy that wears the green dot.
I will say this too, as you give some of the valid points for Devin Bush. One thing that he has working in his favor as well too, it's not a complete cleaning of house. It's not a complete new staff turnover, but Keith Butler's gone. And yeah, Terrell Austin's been there, but it's his defense. And we know Mike Tomlin has a big say in the defense as well too. But Terrell Austin's the guy sitting in that DC seat now. And now Brian Flores is there as well too. Yep. So there is a little bit, while it's not like they completely cleaned house and brought in a new staff or anything like that, there is a little bit of an opportunity for a fresh start for Devin as well too.
There certainly is. And like you said, Brian Flores is there. Jerry Osofsky is back to also help with that. Remember, Jerry Osofsky had to leave in the middle of the season because of the unfortunate passing of his wife. And I know that that's one thing. It's like you don't say like, oh, well, that's definitely impacting the field. But to me, it's like when you lose your coach, when you're in a year where you're struggling to figure out who you are as a linebacker
with
again,
everything else going on. Yeah,
that's going to have an impact. So I think Devin Bush, I've said for a long time, Devin Bush deserves a bit of a mulligan for 2021. I also think that some of the mistakes, some of the problems that happened to run defense weren't just about him. It was about a mixture of problems that the Steelers defense had. But this year, he has to turn it back on. The question is, can he turn it back on while being the guy that relays the calls? We will find out as things go along, and we'll see if there's any indication that on the first official day of OTAs this Tuesday, today, as the Steelers open things up for the next 3 days. We'll keep talking defense and defensive leadership, because we've been talking about Micah Fitzpatrick, we've been talking about green dots. Who are those faces of the future Steelers defense? We know that Cam Hayward's been the face that's kind of carried the torch for a while, but I think it's important to talk about who's going to be those future faces. We'll talk about that in just a second here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bars, and not just Built Bars, the brownie batter Built Puffs. I love brownies, and if you love brownies, you probably love the brownie batter that you get in the bowl. After you finish making them, you're putting a spoon in the brownie batter, you're licking it up, you're like, man, this tastes awesome. And if you've ever wanted some way to eat that brownie batter, but it'd be healthy for you, let me tell you, friends, you're in luck, because Built Bar has new Built Puffs that are brownie batter flavored. If you haven't tried them, these are amazing. Built Puffs are basically protein-infused marshmallows. They're light. They're only 140 calories. And when you eat them, they're going to taste like the flavor. I'm telling you, they're covered in chocolate already because they're covered. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. And then the inside is easy to chew, easy to put down. 140 calories while getting 17 grams of protein and only 7 grams of sugar. So imagine eating all of that brownie batter and only getting 7 grams of sugar and 140 calories from it. It's a steal of an opportunity to eat something that tastes great, but is good for you at the same well and helping keep your protein counts up. So go to Built.com right now and find the brownie batter puffs on their website. And when you go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order when you visit Built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio and the Ears and Beers podcast. Wes, let's talk about leadership for a sec on Steelers defense and who it could be this year that steps up into it. Because we all know Cam Hayward is the face. He's the guy that's carried the torch. He's held it for the long time. Joe Hayden was the leader of the secondary. He was the veteran that kind of everyone rallied around. But now you need some of these younger guys who have been more so playmakers to also be leaders. TJ Watt, I think he started to step into that leadership role a bit last year, because TJ Watt was never a guy in his early years, his first like 2 or 3 years, where you saw him kind of rallying all the troops outside of his plays. When he makes a big play, Everyone does rally around him. But, you know, being the James Farrier, the guy that said, this is a 5-star matchup, because we, like stuff like that. Like Joey Porter type stuff. But you saw last year, he was doing the who ride, re-ride. He was doing the pregame stuff, and everyone was rallying around him. So he's starting to become that, even if not everyone sees it all the time. But there need to be others that are part of this next crew. Cam Hayward is, you know, don't tell Cam that I said this, because he doesn't like it when people call him old. But he's in his 30s, and he's getting up there, and he's not going to have.
He's football old.
He's football.
He's not old. He's football.
See, I still think Cam would like if he hears us saying this, he's gonna yoke us up at practice at the Southside facility and be like, Wes and Chris, I heard you were calling me old on the show. But anyways, point being, he's been doing this for a long time. They need those new faces to come around. We know TJ Watt's gonna be in that mix, but this is another reason why I think it's so important to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick, because Joe Hayden was the guy who the defensive backs rallied around, because he was the voice of reason, the veteran, the Pro Bowler, the guy who'd been there, done that, and he was the guy that everyone revolved around. Now Minkah Fitzpatrick, who I think this is important, understood deference and never tried to overtake Joe Hayden. He understands that's the man. He's earned this spot. He's a leader on this team. I'm not going to try to outspeak him or outlead him. But now that's out of the way. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think, you know, because he's at Alabama, there was the same thing there. If there was an older guy, then you respected their leadership, and then you took over as leadership as a leader. I think Najee Harris might be going through the same thing with the offense. But I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is a huge part of leading this defense into the future. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Wes. Is he the guy that you think is going to be like a rallying cry? Because in our time watching and covering the Steelers, you know, Troy Polamalu was a leader, but he was never the guy that everyone kind of rallied around. You know, even Ryan Clark was a little bit more of that because he was more vocal. Troy was just about, I'm going to make the play on the field and follow me by example. Whereas James Farrier was more of a voice. Can Minkah be that guy? I think that's a big question.
That is a big question. You know, ideally, I think you kind of hit on this. Ideally, he becomes that guy who is the emotional galvanizer. And then you have the TJ Watt, who's more so just the, what's the old, was it FDR or Teddy Roosevelt? Like the walk quietly, but carry a big stick thing.
Yep.
You have the guy who's more, you know, who can get vocal at times, but is more just business and leads by example. And then you have the galvanizing energy guy. I think that's the perfect balance. You had that on all those great Steelers defenses, right? Like the dynamic between Joey Porter and Troy Polamalu type thing, right? Farrier and Troy Polamalu. I think you've seen a little bit of this with the Penguins in town as well. Sidney Crosby's always been the TJ Watt type, right? And then the Penguins have had the other guys to fill in to be kind of the emotional galvanizer. That, to me, is the perfect blend. One guy you know, one guy, Ben Roethlisberger, who goes about his business and is a professional and shows it that way. And then another guy in Marquise Pouncey who will grab you by the throat and rip your head off, right?
Exactly. Like, no, I agree.
That's the duality of leadership balance that I think you want. And they have half of that clearly in TJ Watt. And they've got obviously a good bridge for both in Cam Hayward. But as you alluded to, we're not calling him old, but he's not also going to be around forever either. I think Minka is a prime candidate to emerge there. I also, Chris, I think Alex Highsmith could potentially become that guy.
Ooh, I like that.
Not that he's going to be an all-pro, not that he's going to be as great as Minka or Joe Haden, right, in terms of their pedigree of their careers. But Alex Highsmith, he was a small school guy at Charlotte, right, who was the leader of that defense, who was the standout player. And he's shown some of that grit, some of that passion, some of that emotion throughout his early career. So, again, I think you have the best defensive player in football, the lead by example guy who works his tail off, who works harder than anybody else, and can speak up at times. You need someone else to be that energizer bunny, the one who can yell and get rowdy and do it in a different way, who can, you know, fire you up a little bit. I think Minka could certainly be that guy. I also, though, I'm interested to see if Alex Highsmith could potentially grow into that a little bit this year, because then all of a sudden there would be like some like days of yore vibes with that, right? Where you had the psycho Joey Porter next to the cool, calm, and collected Larry Foote, right? Like there is something to be said there for that balance. If Highsmith can be that guy who kind of ramps it up emotionally and in terms of intensity, I think that would be a really good development for the defense as well.
No, I agree. I mean, and Joey Porter, he wasn't just the loud guy. People did follow him. Like the week leading up to the Super Bowl, he bought everyone Notre Dame Jerome Bettis jerseys to wear on the plane there. And Troy Polamalu was like, "I hope you understand, Jerome. This is how much I love you because I hate Notre Dame."
They'd be like me wearing a Pitt jersey.
Exactly. That'd be like if I walked up to
except
you.
Except for I didn't play at WVU. Troy played at USC.
Right. Like playing against USC, playing for USC against Notre Dame. Like that's a big all-time rivalry. And I get that. And that's Joey Porter was able to get the whole team to do that. And then the image that I will never forget, Super Bowl 40, when they're in Detroit, Jerome Bettis' hometown, and he runs onto the field. And he didn't know that he was going to be the only guy running onto the field. But you see Joey Porter with his arms out, blocking the whole team, like, let him have this moment. And no one was ever crossing Joey. That kind of leadership is important. And James Ferrier brought that kind of leadership. You know, I think Casey Hampton brought a quieter version of that kind of leadership. Hines Ward brought a louder version of that kind of leadership. And the Steelers, Ben, I think he's been a leader, but not the kind of way that, like you said, he's more of a, he goes about his business. He challenges you, and he's so important because he touches the entire field, but he was never the let's go get him guy. Like how Cam Hayward is. Right. I mean, there's even the I think the picture was when they won the Bengals game in 2017, when Ryan Shazier got hurt, there's a picture of Cam Hayward ruffling Ben Roethlisberger's head in that, you know, after that game, kind of been like, good way to go get him, Ben.
Right, right.
You want guys like that. And, you know, Alex Highsmith is an interesting candidate. I think Miles is important for the green dot responsibility because Miles Jack or Devin Bush could play into that as well. All of the great Steelers teams that have won Super Bowls, whether it was 2008, 2005, or the 70s, they had a great middle linebacker who was holding it down and everyone looked to. For the 2000s, it was James Ferrier. He commanded that part of the field. Everyone listened to him and followed his example. For the 70s, you know it was Jack Lambert. He was just that dude. And I think the Steelers need a guy like that who can be a tone setter, a playmaker, and maybe not the meanest, nastiest dude on the field. But
yeah, it doesn't always have to be your best player.
Exactly.
Like Jack Lambert was great, but a lot of people will tell you he wasn't the best player on that defense. No. Mean Joe was better. Mel Blount was better. Some people will say Jack Ham was a little bit better. Yeah. But he needs to be good. He needs to be somebody that's not coming off the feet. You know, it can't be someone who only plays 40% of the snaps. He needs to be a good player, but it doesn't have to be a future Hall of Famer either.
Absolutely. So point here is the Steelers do need leaders to emerge. We'll see where they emerge and who emerges into those roles over the next couple of years. But the first steps of seeing that moving forward is OTAs, which do start today, Tuesday, at the Steelers facility. I will be there. Wes, you'll be there. It's going to be an exciting time. We'll be talking about what's going on at practice. So stay tuned here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We will give you updates after the first day of OTAs. What happened? What are the top storylines? We'll be examining that. You can also read my work at Steelers Now. But Wes, thanks for joining the show. Let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, I think most of the loyal listeners, they've probably heard me give this spiel before. So hold on. Don't hit the fast forward button. Different schedule for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
Because as Chris mentioned, Motes and I live at OTA, Steeler Nation Radio. Chris will be hopping on with us. We'll have players and coaches hopping on with us. Brian Backo, who was on the podcast here last week, will be hopping on with us. Motes and I, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the next 3 weeks, 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. So we're 3 days a week, but you get the bonus hour. We're doing three-hour shows now instead of two-hour shows. 10 a.m. East Coast time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you're up in the morning, if you're looking for, you know, something, some OTAs coverage, we will be live at practice. We're going to have our radio row set up right there in Mr. Rooney's backyard at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. We'll have great guests, and we'll have 3 hours of live coverage, Motes and I, from 10 to 1 o'clock at OTAs every single day. So if you're looking for OTA, you know, if you're a Steelers junkie, and if you're subscribed to the Locked On Steelers podcast, I got a feeling you're a Steelers junkie. We will have 6 hours of live OTA coverage every single day on SNR beginning at 10 a.m.
Absolutely. Do check them out. They'll be there on site, and who knows, you might hear me talking on there. But Wes and Mose, they do great work. You'll hear the team there from Steeler Nation Radio covering things, player interviews, all of that will be available. So do check that out when you get the chance. Wes, thanks so much for joining the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Follow the man at Wesley Euler on Twitter. He does great stuff all the time. Follow me, Chris Carter, on Twitter at Carter Critiques. I do great stuff some of the times. But you can follow me there. You can also watch and listen to this show on the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're enjoying this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video. Let us know you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus episodes. And you'll sometimes get our breaking news updates when those come out. You can also read my work at SteelersNow.com, a Steelers website under the Pittsburgh Sports Now franchise. But you go there, check out SteelersNow.com. You'll see my articles that are up, where you'll also be able to read a lot faster where, you know, what are my thoughts are on the first days of OTAs, as I'll be on hand covering it for Steelers Now and Locked On. Thanks again for checking us out here. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts with a positive rating, both at the same time. Get you a shout out at the end of the show. Back tomorrow, talking more on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll have Josh Taylor on. It's going to be a fun one. We'll see you then.